Today we're starting a new parable. How many of you know that we spent about 8 weeks on the parable of a sower and four different soils? We spent about 8 weeks there, and I hope you learned something. But guess what? Jesus is not done teaching his disciples about sowing and reaping. Amen? And so today's topic is called Kingdom of God is like a farmer. You never thought that Kingdom of God is like a farmer. I mean, did you see that guy? He was kind of, some girls might think he's a good-looking guy, but he's dirty, right? And that's how farmers are. I live next to a farm, and they're always dirty, and there's always mud there. And every time they come to my house, it smells like they have been around compost, poop, yeah. They've been around things, amen? And, yeah, and so... please open your Bibles today to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, and we will cover one point out of 3 points that I will preach on out of that. Now, some of you might ask me and say, Pastor, why do we spend so much time digging through the Word? Can we just run through the book of Mark really fast and just do one chapter, one Sunday, and in what, 12 Sundays we'll be done? Well, if we do that, you could do that at home. But my goal is not to run through the Bible. And actually, my fear is that I will not be able to go through my life and preach through the whole Bible because I'm so slow. But I want to preach through the whole Bible, and I want to understand exactly what it's talking about. Listen, don't run through the Bible. Don't just say, okay, I need joy, so I'll read quick scripture on joy, and that's it. Bible says meditate on the scripture day and night, and this way you will make your way prosperous and you will have great success. That's Joshua 1:8, if you need to write that down. All right, so my goal is for you to be people of faith. Amen. I don't want you to just know that it's written there. I want it to be a part of your being. Now, I'm not a faith preacher, okay, but I want you to be people of faith. My goal is that you would know how to be a person of faith in every circumstance in your life. In your trials, in your prosperity, in your health, and in your sickness, in whatever you go through, God wants you to be a person of faith. So my desire is to teach you, and I believe God's desire, and that's why He gave me this gift, so I can teach you guys to be people of faith. There's nothing better than to see a person of faith. Doesn't matter what they're going through, they're positive. They're looking for things that are good in their life, not always looking at the negative. How many of you know that it's not fun to hang out with a negative person? Amen? And sometimes that's what we could be. Sometimes all we think is something bad is going to happen to me. That's not a person of faith. You got to remove those thoughts out of your life. No, something good is going to happen to me. Because listen, Jeremiah says, God says in Jeremiah, I have thoughts for you. What kind of thoughts do you have? Do you think God has for you? For good. Listen, some of you think that God has thoughts for you for evil. It doesn't say that God thinks of you in evil way. God has says, I have thoughts for you, for good, to prosper you and give you peace. So when God thinks of you, He's like, how can I prosper him? How can I give him more peace? How can I do good for this person? When you sometimes think, when I think, it's like, oh, these bad things just never end. I'll never get out of this. I'll never go through this. No, yes, you will. God is looking for a way to get you out. Amen. So let's read our scriptures today and discover how do we live a life of faith. How do you become a woman of faith? How do you become a man of faith? Amen? Because that's what Jesus came. He says, when Jesus said this before he left, he said, when I come back to this earth, will I find faith on the earth? Will anybody still believe me? God is looking. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. I want you to be men and women of faith. That's what's going to be different. Not just that I believe in Jesus. He's a good, feminine type of a guy. He's a loving. No, he spanks you too. He grabs a whip and give you a spanking if you're doing something wrong. He's a masculine guy. He was a carpenter. He was a tree. He worked with lumber. Have you ever worked with lumber? His hands were rough. It wasn't these lotioned up, soft, metrosexual hands. No, it was strong. Now, if you have nice, soft hands, that's good. Good for you, you know. But just I want you to know about Jesus. He probably had dirt in his nails. All right. He probably had calluses on his palms. He was a man type of a guy. But he related to women really good too. They loved him too. So all right, let's just get that straight. Hallelujah. Now, are we going to read a scripture or what? Mark 4:26. It says this. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer. Okay, let's say it together. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. Hold on. What? That sounds weird. You mean the dirty guy that was just over here showing us how to plant seeds? Now, how many of you know there's two kingdoms in this world? What are they called? Help me out. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. There's two systems in the world. The kingdom of this world. There's two ways of living in this world. It's the living by the principles of the kingdom of God or by the kingdom of this world. Bible says that the kingdoms of this world eventually will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Amen. There's two kingdoms in this world. Satan says, the kingdom of this world belongs to me. It was handed off to me. Who had handed it off to him? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve give the authority of this kingdom. But eventually, this kingdom will become kingdom of our God. So there's two ways of thinking in this world. That's why there's so many different opinions between a Christian and non-Christian. Jesus, when he said to us to pray, you all remember the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to get to a scripture. I'm just getting you ready because I only have one point today. So I gotta get this in. Jesus said this, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So God has a will in heaven for this earth. And he said, when you pray, ask God's will to come into this world. Ask for God's kingdom to come into this kingdom. So that's what it's talking about. So let's start reading. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. So you're like, what is God's kingdom? I don't understand. What do you do? What do you mean? Do you just receive a supernatural zap from up high and you become a kingdom person? You start living how God lives in heaven, or how angels live in heaven, or how the saints live in heaven. No. Kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. What else does the Bible says about kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea and drags and picks up all kinds of fish. What else Bible says about kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. All right. What else Bible says about kingdom of heaven? The lady who lost 10 golden coins. So Jesus gives us practical things to explain to us the kingdom of heaven. And today we'll learn one of them. Amen. And after today, I believe you will understand kingdom of heaven differently. Because kingdom of heaven is a different way of thinking. It's biblical way of thinking. Paul says to Romans chapter 12, renewing your mind. So you may know what the kingdom mindset is. So you may know what the will of God is. And so today we want to renew our mind. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. You wouldn't think so. But that's what Jesus said. And I believe Jesus. I don't think he's lying to us. Who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he sleeps or is awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. Now today we have more understanding than they did in those days, right? We study today how it grows, but still we don't have all the understanding, all right? How does a little seed that seems dead hold the DNA information, hold all the data that it knows how to grow? How does it know who to become? I mean, if you are a pea, you know, how do you know if you're this little? Let me show you. Oh, ushers will be mad at me because I'm going to be scattering today. How does this little dead thing that could lay there for years know exactly what to do and in 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks, produce sweet tasting peas? So we don't understand everything. Let's keep reading. Okay, so it sprouts and grows, but he does not know how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. Listen, this is a big point we'll study next week. The earth produces the crop without you or me. You plant, you water, but you don't make it grow. Next week, be here, because this will save you a lot of frustration. A lot of frustration happens in the life because we think that we make it grow. No, you don't. Anything you do, it's not you who makes it grow. Anything I've ever done in my life, I worked hard, yes, but I didn't make it grow. It's God who makes it grow. Amen. The earth produces crop on its own. Amen. First, the leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of the wheat are formed. And then finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come. Amen? All right, so there's three points that I want to preach over the next 2 weeks. Today I'm going to preach on scattering. Next week, on waiting. And the third week, on reaping. Amen? So today let's talk about scattering. Now, let me ask you a question. What is scattering? And is it a good word or a bad word? Is it a good word? Could it be a bad word? Can a person scatter things? Yeah. So scattering could be a good or a bad word. Do you remember prodigal son? What happens to him? He went, he took his father's seeds. And what did he do? He scattered it where? He scattered a little bit on prostitutes. Okay, so he took some seed and just went, here, prostitutes, there you go. Just got to make it practical, right? Then he took some seed, scattered some on drinking, partying, scattered there. Whatever you scatter for the devil does not really produce much. It just takes, right? And this prodigal son, scattered all of his possession to the point that he came rich, but became broke. Amen. So there's that kind of scattering. But there's also this kind of scattering, kingdom of God type of scattering. Now, do you know that God wants you to be a scatterer? Not to the prostitutes, or male prostitute, I don't know. Not to drinking and drugs and whatever lifestyle that's contrary to the word of God. Well, it's actually normal in the world. He wants you to live according to a different mindset. Listen, I'm not condemning. If you're still in the world, I'm not here to judge you. Because that's what people in the world do. That's just normal. I'm here to encourage you to come to a different kingdom. I want you to get out of the kingdom of darkness and come to the kingdom of His dear, marvelous Son and light. Amen. All right. So God wants you to be a scatterer. Remember, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed. So if you want to know what kingdom of God is, what Jesus was all about, he was a scatterer. Now, let me give you an illustration. Can I draw a picture for you guys right now? Let's say you were a billionaire. Let's say you were a trillionaire, okay? You had all the money in the world. You bought everything you ever wanted. You did everything you ever wanted. So right now some of you are dreaming, I want to travel. That's a good one, but you already traveled. I want a car like that, and you already got it. You drove it, and now it's standing in your garage collecting dust. Actually, you have 10 kinds of cars and they're all standing there. You're not even using it. I want a plane. Well, you got a plane now. You got everything you ever wanted, and you did everything you ever wanted. What would you, and you were 30 years old or 40 years old, what would you do with your life? If that was me, well, let me say what's popular right now in the world to do. What is popular right now in the world to do if you have a lot of money? If you're a movie star, charity, giving to the poor. That's a popular thing to do. Talking about the poor, you know, it makes you look more spiritual, right? It makes you look good, giving money to the poor. Now, if I was a billionaire, I would be careful who I gave my money to or what I did with my money. Yes, I would want to give. But more than that, I would want to invest. Because when you give to the poor, it brings you joy, right? And Bible says we're supposed to give to the poor. That's part of our sowing. That's one of the places we're supposed to give. But more, it would bring me joy if I invested into something, or I would have invested in a regular person with a great idea, and they would, in a few months, few years, just like, I'm not going there yet, they would start growing, and they would start producing, and they would become fruitful. And I would be looking at them and say, yes, my money is not just eaten and then went out the back door. My money is being used, and fruitfulness is being produced, right? Do you know that God is like that? Do you know that God is a trillion times trillion trillionaire? Everything you can think, He owns. He's a rich God. You know what? He traveled. Some of you are into traveling because I ask you and you're like, I want to travel. God traveled to the most ends of the universe. He traveled to the many universes, right? He's been everywhere. He's done everything. He ate whatever he wanted. He drank whatever he wanted. He did whatever he wanted. And now what do you do? And guess what? When he was traveling through this universe, he saw a planet, one of the planets that he created. And he said, Holy Spirit, what do you think we can do with this? Can we sow into this? Can we scatter some seed into this planet? Do you know that God is a scatterer? If the kingdom of God is like a farmer who's sowing, then God cannot be different from his own kingdom. God is his kingdom. That's why it's called the kingdom of God. That's how God thinks. God is like a farmer who scatters. Amen? Amen. And he planted us. And when he sees us living, that brings him pleasure. And when he sees us being fruitful, that brings him lots of joy. It's one thing to just constantly feed something that doesn't do anything. But it's another thing to invest. Do you know that for many years, people have been given to the poor? Now the idea, and this is not new idea, it's about 1960s, 1970s. One rich banker decided to invest into the poorest country in the world, into the people that he was giving money to. See, there's a difference when you give to somebody and when you invest into somebody. See, if we, the world is catching up on the kingdom principles because they work. We try to pour billions of dollars into the countries. And by trying to help them, we would actually hurt them. Because what do you do to a businessman if you bring a big container of t-shirts to a poor country? What do you do to a businessman who makes t-shirts and sells them and gives jobs in community? You destroy him. When you pour in a lot of wheat and listen to me, we're supposed to help the poor. We are. Listen to me. Don't you even think about saying that I'm against poor. I am. Tanya and I, we do our part, and you should be doing your part to help the poor. But Bible says don't just put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just sow into one thing. Sow unto seven and even unto eight, Bible says. Don't just put in one. Don't just sow into this church and say, I'm a giver. That's it now. No. That's just one of the places you give. Bible expects you to give at least six or seven more different places. You probably never heard, thought you can hear this from a pastor, but you have to give. You have a heart of gratitude. But the kingdom of God is like a sower, is like a farmer who plants a seed. And what happens in India, they gave $20 microloans. They do this in Nigeria as well. and a lot of people who have ideas come out, and 99% of them pay off the loan. Because loans are from $20. This one was about $200-something. And they start communities. They also provide them with training. That's what I want to do. I want to help the poor so much. Because I was poor. I grew up in poverty. We didn't have nothing. I remember being beat up for drinking, what is that milk called? You know, that thick milk in a can? Condensed milk. I loved it so much. How many of you love condensed milk? No? I took a can, and my parents were holding it so long because it was like the delicacy. And I put a little hole, and I thought nobody will find out. And I started sucking it out, and they did find out. Oh, I got beat up. I grew up in poverty, and I want to help people. I know what it feels like, how you think of yourself. I want to help people. I want us to help people. But if we're going to help people, we have to do it God's way. I never saw Jesus giving money away. I never did. There were so many poor around his. Jesus actually got accused of not helping the poor. Remember, a woman came and poured out a box of perfume on him, on his legs, and wiped them with her hair. And Judas came. Judas. We should give this to the poor. We should sell this and give this to the poor. Jesus said, hold on. You give this to the poor, you'll need to give it to them next month again. What I'm doing here, I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. And if they get the gospel, they'll never be the same. I'm not saying you're going to be rich, but you're not going to be poor. Hallelujah. I want you to be people of faith. When will you start listening to the word of God? I'm serious. Jesus said, blessed are your ears that you hear this. Don't throw this blessing away. Receive it. Hallelujah. Note, God didn't invest in all the planets. He found a planet, Earth, and invested his seed. And look at the results. Look how many sons and daughters he has. Look how big his family is. He rejoices when you do good. He rejoices over you, but he wants you to. The reason you preach to the poor is so they can get out of that poverty. Now, if you want to be poor for Jesus, that's fine. But if you secretly hate being poor and you're not doing it for Jesus, then you should listen to the gospel and let it transform your life. I want you to be people of faith in every circumstance of your life. Hallelujah. God is a scatterer. You remember a person with one talent when he came back last time I preached? And he didn't multiply it. He buried his talent. What did he call Jesus? He said, you are a wicked master. You harvest where you don't scatter. Well, of course he scattered. He gave you a talent. Not unless you don't think that's a seed. See, a lot of people, well, let me go into this. He wants you to be like him. Guys, can you put Ephesians 5:1? If God is a scatterer, then this is what he says. Imitate God. Read it with me. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Guys, do you know that you don't think that the kingdom of God is like a farmer scattering seed? But how did you get started? It's because God created a system where seed was scattered. And one of those seeds had a big purpose of God. And out of that seed you came to be. The kingdom of God. You are an example of this. Kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed. Now, what is seed? I gotta finish here. A seed is a tiny beginning with a huge future. Listen to me again. A seed is a tiny beginning with a huge future. When you ask of God for something, don't look for the thing. Look for the seed. So let's say this. If you're asking God for apples, he won't give you apples. He will give you the seed. Now, if this is true, hold on, I'm not sold yet. If this is true, then what do you mean, Jesus? I have to sow, wait, harvest? Then how come you didn't do that? You have a question like that? How come Jesus, right away he prays for somebody and they get healed? He casts out a demon and he gets out. Well, how come we can't do it? So here you're saying you want us to be like you, but whenever you do, it happens right away. But we must plant, wait, and grow. I mean, it's a legitimate question, correct? Well, you do it fast, right? You command a tree and it dries up overnight. Still not fast, but overnight. I mean, I wish I could do that. But no, I don't wish I could do that. But you expect me to plant, wait, and then reap? What is going on here? The answer is very simple. What did Jesus do for the first 30 years of his life? Waited. He planted. He grew, Bible says. Jesus didn't do anything for the first 30 years in his life except he worked in his father's business. He loved his mother. He loved the people around him. And then the first miracle he did was, because that was his seed. God gave him a seed to be a miracle worker. Now, this is how I imagine this. Jesus went in the Bible, because Jesus studied the Bible too. He didn't just know it. You know, he was born and had to grow up, just like a seed. Jesus was the seed planted in this earth by God. Not through a man. We were planted by our dads. Right? Try explaining it to the kids. They've already asked me this question. And I'm like, kids, when you're 10, I'll tell you. I know, they ask you these questions way too early. And so God planted Jesus into the Virgin Mary, and Jesus had to grow. And he would read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel to the poor, heal the sick, cast out demons, and declare the acceptable year of the Lord, which is what? Jubilee. What is Jubilee? A year where debts are forgiven. Every 50 years, there was a year commanded by God in Israel that if you had debts, they were forgiven. They were erased. So Jesus came to declare debts forgiven. How many of you are excited? Because we in a past life, we planted some seeds. Haven't we? In our world life, we planted some seeds that are still could be growing. But guess what Jesus said? I came to forgive the debts. Meaning, I came to pull out those bad weeds that you planted. Amen. So when Jesus would read that, he said, okay, that's for me. Right? So he would take the seeds out of the Word of God, because Word of God is a factory, not a factory. It's a warehouse of seed. And he would take the words and he would plant it inside of himself. 30 years later, his time comes and he goes to the wedding. And God says, now it's time. See, a lot of us, we want to do things, we want to achieve things when we're not ready. When we should be waiting, watering. And he comes out and he turns water into wine. He casts out a demon, which is a mental sickness that was in this man. Demons are these microbes, but they're spiritual. They're like flies. Casts them out of a man that was confusing his mind. What confuses a person's mind? That's those spiritual things. They influence. Not in all cases, but in many cases. So, what is a seed? Seed is a tiny beginning with a huge future. Now, if you're a Christian and you're asking God for a huge future, he's not going to give it to you. You're probably chasing fame. The reason you would ask God to make you a superstar right now is because you want to be famous. And fame will separate you from Jesus. If you follow fame, and Jesus goes this way, fame will usually take you the other way. You need to pray for God to deliver you from fame. And just plant seeds and let them grow until harvest. And we'll talk about it later. So seed is a tiny beginning. It's anything that could grow and become more, good or bad. God's word is a seed. It's a warehouse. It's full of seeds. Your thoughts are seeds. Good or bad. They create your behavior, attitude, conduct, or creativity. Amen? Whatever you think will produce eventually in your life. If you get angry, if you see yourself beating somebody up, eventually you will beat them up. You just can't, you'll say this, I just couldn't control myself. And I believe you because you, the thoughts were already so much that in your thoughts that you already beat them up for so long that you couldn't help beating them up. That's why sometimes people that just can't control but sucker punch you because it's been there. They've been waiting. They've been dreaming of sucker punching you or kicking you in somewhere, you know. It's been in their mind. So good or bad thoughts are seeds. You know that love is a seed. Your time is a seed. One rich man came to a counselor and said, to a preacher or a counselor, he said, listen, my son, I buy him so many presents, but every time I give him a present, he hates me even more. The preacher or counselor said this. He said, why don't you stop buying him anything? Why don't you spend 1 hour a day with him for the next 2 weeks? The man started, after 2 weeks, the man ran into their appointment and said, you won't believe this. My son loves me. We hang out. We go, we joke around. We have fun. My son loves me. See, he planted time. He planted the seed. You know that prayer is a seed. That's you spending time with God. And before you know it, you're in love with him. I don't know if I love God. I don't know if he's there. I don't know if he hears me. You don't spend time with him. Because time is a seed. And between seed time and harvest, there's a season. You plant in the spring, you cultivate in the summer, and you reap in the fall. And it's like that every single year. Every single year. Hallelujah. Your patience is a seed. Amen? Because in patience, God works out some things before he gives you what you plant. See, the time between planting and harvest is the time God works on you. Yeah, he pulls out weeds. He waters you. He gives you illumination, understanding, revelation. So when you get what you're planted, that thing won't destroy you, but actually be a blessing. Hallelujah. Money obviously is a seed. Your kindness is a seed. Forgiveness is a seed. Thankfulness is a seed. You have your body, your mind is a warehouse of seeds. Now, you could be, you say, well, I don't plant anything. I just live my life. I don't need to worry about it. You're planting something. And usually when you don't want to talk about what you're planting, it's not good. Usually if you don't want to talk about what you're planting, that means you're planting something that's not good. Because if I plant good seeds, guess what? I want to talk about it. Why am I to be ashamed, right? Why should I hide my face, right? So if you don't want to talk about it, check yourself and see what you're planting. Are you planting love? Guys, we shouldn't plant love towards our wife when it comes towards the evening. We should be loving husbands all day long. We should kiss our wife, not just when 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. comes. You know what I mean? Married people, don't think about it. But just let it be there, you know? Just put it on the shelf right now. Put it on the shelf right now. When you get there, you get there, okay? You'll know what to do. So you got to plant love. You got to plant kindness. Some kids are super sensitive. My little junior, man, he's sensitive. And then he'll go and think about it for hours. And then he'll think it up bigger. And he'll say, Dad, remember you said that? I'm like, I never said that.
But also you can sow every day you're planting. Today, you decided to take some time out of your busy schedule to spend God in the time in the presence of God. Guess what? You're planting seeds in your mind. Also, you could have chose to be somewhere else, and you could have chose to plant lies, cheating. You could have been, you know, cursing is planting seeds. You know malice? You know what malice is? It's planning evil against somebody. Man, this is what I'm going to do to destroy them. Listen, doesn't matter what they did to you. You give it to God, and God, watch what God will do to that person. Watch what God will do. God is a better defender than you can ever be. And He's a just defender. Amen? So everybody is planting. You are a walking bag, a warehouse of seed. You're planting something every day, good or bad. Do you know what you're planting? What do you need in your life? You should be planting towards. Amen? Almost done. Seed is not something you don't have. It's something you already have. So God doesn't ask you to give money when you don't have Him. A lot of people, all they want is my money in church. Well, the reason God asks you, He wants you to plant the seed so He can bless you even more. And He's not asking you for 100%, 110%. He's not asking you for 50% or 20%. He says 10% is the most I need. It's what I need. That's it. So I can work on your greed. So it could be a plant. So you can plant it. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, everybody, when you were born, you were not born as a harvest. You were born as a seed. Everybody has God put seeds in them. Do you believe that? You have many seeds in you. Many talents, many abilities, even things like love and kindness and purity and goodness. You have many seeds. You know, when I watch my kids grow, I start seeing seeds in them. Parents, our job is to look at our children and discover the seeds and help them plant it at the early age. You know what I saw? I saw my little daughter, Abby. She just loves playing piano. Whenever she's bored, she doesn't like to do it for a long time, but whenever she's bored, she goes on the piano and she plays something. Well, as a parent, I got to help her plant the seeds. A few weeks ago, and this is amazing because, and she's no special or anything, every kid has their, you know, strength. And she always sings. I mean, since she was a baby, she was happy and she sang. You never see my daughter not happy. She's always happy. Junior is opposite. We used to call him a man of sorrows, but not anymore because we're not planting those seeds in him. And I would see Abby singing and playing piano. And she was singing It's the Climb. And I said, do you want me to teach you that? And I showed her a few times It's the Climb. It's a chord for It's the Climb by Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus is, what's wrong with her now? I don't know. And Abby, I come from work once and she's like, Dad, look. And she plays the whole song, It's the Climb, and sings it. And I'm like, how many chords in It's the Climb? Like 8? Different variations? Tons of chords. And she's playing that. Of course, I gotta help her plant the seeds. We don't have to wait till our kids are huge and plant their own seeds. We gotta, Bible says children are like arrow in the hand of a skillful shooter. Your children are like arrows. So your job is to pull them and let them go towards their, what? Bullseye. You wanna discover that bullseye and you wanna shoot them there. Now I wanna teach Junior to do that. He's not like that. He just wants to compete with her. So he would go and play, Dad, look, I know this song. And he knows, Lord, I Come to You. He knows it like by heart and stuff. But he just not like that. She sits on drums. She plays drums. She goes to Eli, and Uncle Eli teaches her guitar 3 chords. And she comes and says, Dad, I can play guitar now. Keep teaching her, man. Keep teaching her. So we got to look at our children and discover what gifts they have. Junior is a thinker, on the other hand. You ask him what he likes, he'll say, I love math. Now he lost me there, but mama will have to teach you math. Hallelujah. So no child is born as a harvest. They are born with seeds in them. And our job is to help them discover. Hallelujah. Now, last scripture and we're done. Open to Ecclesiastes 11, 1, 2, and 6. How many of you are getting this? Amen? Parents, are you getting this? I'm getting this. Hallelujah. Young people, are you getting this? Young people, you are the most to benefit from this message. Because you're young. You can sow so much. Amen? Listen to this. Cast your bread upon waters. Here it says, send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. For in many days you will, gives, verse 2. Give a serving of 7 and also of 8. So it's talking about sow into 7 things or even in 8 things. And also, for you do not know what evil will be on earth. Okay? Let's do verse 6 now, guys. Ecclesiastes 11. 1, 2, and 6. Listen to this. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this one or that, or whether both alike will be good. Kingdom of heaven is like a farmer. He says, don't just seed all of it in one ground. Seed it a little bit this way. Okay? Ushers, I love you. Seed it a little bit that way. Scatter them in 6, 7, 8 different places. Don't invest just, if you're a business investor, if you're a business person, don't invest just in one business, invest in many. Now, but if you're not a business person, don't invest in business, because you might, yeah. And listen, if you got a multi-pyramid marketing, I will not let you do anything in this church. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. We don't do that here. I'm not going to, hear me out, hear me out. You come here for the clients. You can't do that here. We don't promote any organization. We don't promote any business. We don't promote anything. You got to discover your gift and do what you are good at. For some of you, that's just love. You have to plant love. Oh, how people need love in this world. Amen. Some of you could be money, or some of you could be other things. But every one of you has to sow. Every one of you has to plant, because the kingdom of God is a farmer who scatters seed. Scatterness is not greedy. It's just throwing it. Here, here, God, make it grow. Hallelujah. I started sowing when I was about 17 years old, money, financially. And God really, really blessed me. And there came a time that I said, when am I going to stop sowing? I just got to start enjoying what I already planted. And so I kind of slowed down my sowing a little bit. And Satan comes, and he's a liar. How many of you know that? And he comes to you and says, you got a lot, yes. But what happens if it all disappears? What if something happens? You know, he brings fear. I don't want you to be people of fear. That's devil talking. God says to me through a verse, to him who has, more shall be added. But notice, the one with one talent had one talent. What happened? He didn't sow it. So to him who has and sows, more will be added. Oh, I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me for not sowing. I'm not going to miss one opportunity to sow. Because to him who has, more shall be added, and plants it. So you want to live your life constantly sowing the seed, never stopping. Even if you have a lot already, if you're rich already. I know some of us are, you know, just in the beginning stages. Some of us are middle stages. But if you got it all, never stop sowing. Because if you never stop sowing, you will never stop reaping. Doesn't matter how old are you, never stop sowing. Because to him who has and sows, more will be given. Imagine a farmer collected a great crop and said, I'm not going to plant anymore this year. I'm good. And he eats it all in a year, in 1 year, or in 2 years. But it's all gone. And then what happens? That's how a lot of people live. They got it. Oh, I have it good now. I don't need Jesus. I have it good. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to water my plants. No, no. You always continue to sow. And listen, I only said financially just like one time. You sow in many different areas. You don't just sow in this church. This is one of the good grounds. But you sow all over. Amen? You give to the poor. That's one of your places. The Bible says, he who gives to the poor gives alone to God. And God says, I will not be in debt to you. So guess what? I'm going to give it back with interest. So sowing into poor is a must. But don't just sow, also invest into the poor. Amen? Many different areas. Your sowing could be praying for the pastor and his family. Because Satan attacks the leaders of God's church. Your sowing could be, I'm going to pray for a pastor for 1 year every day. Make sure no woman comes into his life and destroys him, or some guy comes into his wife's life and destroys him. I'm going to pray. They make sure that their finances, that everything is good. That's a seed. Guess what? God is going to reward you. Because Bible says those who bless you will be blessed. And those who curse you will be cursed. Your blessing, you just waking up and saying, I bless Tony every day. And I'm going to bless him. I want to make sure that his life goes good, that his family goes good. If you want to pray for the couples of this church, or if you want to pray for the young people of this church, or if you want to pray just for one person in your life, or in this church, or in this community, or somebody you know, that's a seed you're planting. Some of you are like, I don't have anything to give. You don't have to give, because you can only give what you have. Peter and John says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we give. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk.